Can go ahead and turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Thank you for that song. That's probably one of my favorite songs that Ron Hamilton wrote. God makes no mistakes. A man wrote that. He was suffering from cancer, lost his eye. Said God makes no mistakes. Wanted people to see God in his life. Many of us, maybe the kids know him as Patch the Pirate. It's an amazing story to see how God can use a trial in our life to do something great for his glory. And I know a lot of times we think that our plans are better than God's plans, and we know best because I'm me and I run my life, but God's will, God's plan is always going to be better than our plan. His ways are always going to be higher than our ways. And as Pastor said, my wife and I, Abigail right here, my wife, our son, Philip, he is in the nursery. He turned 8 months old yesterday. If you haven't met him yet, you have to go meet him before you leave. He is the highlight of our family, as I said in Sunday school, and he'll put a smile on your face. So you go meet Philip. But we're going to be missionaries in Paris. And for those who might not have been here in Sunday school, I'll talk a little bit more about this during the message. But Paris is a city of great influence. Paris is a city of a large amount of people. There's over 10 million people that live in Paris and its suburbs. It's a large city. But 0.5% of those people would say that they're Christians. There's less than a handful of churches in Paris that you could walk into this morning and hear the gospel preached. So there is a great need for churches to be started, for someone to go and to tell those people who don't know who Jesus is. And that's what God's called us to do. God has just laid that burden on our heart, and God has called us to go and to reach those people, to start churches, to see nationals trained to be pastors and start other churches. And that's what we intend to do. But Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to start reading in verse number 6, if you can follow along with me. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after that he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to really dive into this passage, and we're going to see how God makes a missionary. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to open up your word and share a message that you've placed on my heart to these people. Lord, I pray that this morning hearts would be open to receive the instruction that your Spirit has for them. Lord, I pray that hearts would be tender to your word and that it would be received. And Lord, we would grow one step closer to you this morning. God, I pray that you would just help all of us this morning to, one, ask you what it is that you want from us, and two, to act upon that, so that when we walk out the back doors this morning, Lord, we're going to be closer to you, and we're going to have a stronger relationship with you than we did when we walked in this morning. Lord, I pray that you would just bless this time of preaching. Lord, bless your word as you promise, and God, just help us to really just gather around and worship you this morning, and we'll thank you for it. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So, in our life, we have things that happen. We have good things that happen. We have bad things that happen. We have trials. Maybe the death of a loved one. Maybe some financial struggles. We all have trials. It's part of life. We also have mountaintop experiences. I think recently, you know, our son was born eight months ago. That was a mountaintop experience. And we have all of these experiences in our life, and through them, God is preparing us. God's preparing us for a task, something that He has for us to do for His glory. He has a will for our life, and through our life, He's giving us different obstacles to overcome and experiences to have so that we're ready when the time comes for us to do whatever He's called us to do. We read in this passage about the Apostle Paul, and he's coming to a crossroads in his life. See, the Apostle Paul, and we may know, he wasn't the best man. He wasn't the greatest guy when it comes to Christians thinking about it. He was a murderer of Christians. He put Christians in prison. And he thought it was, you know, serving God in that way, but he was really just being a wicked man. And then we know Paul, he's on a road to Damascus, and a light shines from heaven, and Jesus appears, and Paul gets saved. And his life takes a complete 180. I mean, this man who was a killer of Christians now goes into Damascus and starts preaching and telling people about Jesus. He wants to go to Jerusalem and tell people about Jesus. He goes to his hometown and tells people about Jesus. He goes to Antioch, Syria, and he starts telling people about Jesus. All Paul wants to do after this event in his life is tell others what happened to him. And then God says, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I've called him." And Paul goes into Asia Minor, Turkey, and he starts, you know, telling people about Jesus there, and they start seeing churches started and built up, and all of this is happening, and God is preparing Paul for a crossroads. When he first started going into Asia Minor, he gets stoned and possibly killed. He gets beat. He gets whipped. He gets shipwrecked. I mean, all these things are happening to Paul. He's going through all these trials. I mean, people are getting saved and he's having these mountaintop experiences, but he's not a man that's immune to trials. And again, God is using all of these experiences to prepare Paul for a crossroad in his life. Verse 6, Acts chapter 16, verse 6, they came throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and they were forbidden the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, Paul, a man who for years now has wanted to do nothing more than tell people about Jesus. He's looking for the next place. He's like, "God, I want to go. I want to tell. And I want to see people saved. I want to see churches established. I want to see people trained up." He's like, "God, I want to do this. And we're right here in Asia, and we could just go into Asia. We could start preaching, and people will get saved." And God says, "No." It's like, okay. Go down to the next verse. "And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." Paul said, "Well, God, you know, we can't go. You don't want us to go into Asia. You don't want us to go preach the gospel in Asia. And we're close to Bithynia, and there's all kinds of people here in Bithynia that need to hear about Jesus. And we could go into Bithynia and we could tell them, and we could, you know, tell people about Jesus and they get saved, and we could start churches, go into Bithynia, and you could do this great work." And God says, "No." You see, I mentioned God's plans are always better than our plans. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. But sometimes in our human thinking, we can think we know better. I mean, me personally, I fought God for a while. Deep down, I knew that God wanted me to be a preacher. I knew it. I look back on my life now and I just see Him grooming me and putting me in different places to be a preacher. And there's no denying it. But for a year, I fought Him. I said, God, someone else can do it. I said, God, I can't do that. I can't talk in front of people. God, I can't do this. God, you know, I have bigger plans in life. I want to do something great. But in the end, God always gets His way. Got a hold of my heart, and I surrendered. I said, okay, God, look, this is what You want for my life. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it wholeheartedly. Go to the next verse. Well, verse 9. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia, help us. See, Paul, he could have went into Asia, he could have went to Bithynia and started telling people about Jesus, but that wasn't what God had for him. I mean, we could fast forward, we could go through the end of chapter 16 and see all these things that God is doing in Macedonia. We see, I mean, you think about the books of the Bible, Philippi and Corinth and Thessalonica and all these places are in Macedonia. All of these great churches that were started came to be because of this verse right here. If Paul said, you know, God, you said no, but I really think that we should go here, what happens? If Paul says, you were going to go into Asia anyway, or you know what, God, I think we're just going to go to Bithynia because there's an open door there, and starts preaching, what happens? Can God bless disobedience? Do we see these churches, that we see Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, do we see these churches started? Do we see Paul ever going to preach the gospel in Macedonia? Let's go further than that. From there, from Macedonia, the gospel spread across the sea to Rome. From Rome, it gets to Spain, and from Spain to France and England. Fast forward a few hundred years, 1,000 years. The gospel gets on a boat, crosses the ocean, gets to America. Some Christians get on a caravan in America, and they head towards the west. They stop in Arizona. A couple hundred years later, there's a church here in Glendale. If Paul disobeys God right here in verse 6 and 7 and says, you know, I'm going to go to Asia or Bithynia anyway, are we sitting here this morning? Now, this is hypothetical. We know that Paul obeyed. But God can't bless disobedience. So God had been preparing Paul for this moment. He had been grooming him his entire life for this moment of decision, of obedience. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Get this, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. There was no doubt in Paul's mind that this is what God had for him. There was no doubt he was going. Paul, he says, you know what? God has given me a vision, and we're going to go. I don't care what I have to do to get there. I don't care how many boats I have to get on, how expensive it is. I don't care if I have to get in a wagon, pulled by a horse. I don't care if I have to walk to Macedonia. I'm going to Macedonia to preach the gospel. God's called me to it. I'm going. You know what? God has called us to Paris. God's laid it on my heart. He's paved the way. He showed us without a shadow of a doubt, He wants us to go to a city of 10 million people, tell them about Jesus. Nothing's going to stop us. What does God want you to do? What's something that God's been working on your heart about? Now look, I'm not saying that you are going to be a missionary and you're going to go to some faraway land, learn a different language, culture, live in undesirable circumstances to tell people about Jesus. I'm not saying that that's what God's calling you to do this morning. Could be. I'm saying you're here at Vision Baptist Church. Is God asking you to get more involved right here? Does God want you to help in a building project, in a construction project here in the church? Does God want you to get involved in a Sunday school class? Maybe be a helper, maybe teach when the teachers, what does God want you to do? Does God want you to be a greeter at the back door at the beginning of the service? Does God want you to stand up here and use your musical talent to worship Him, singing a special? What's God calling you to do? And then, when we know what God wants us to do, what action are we taking? See, it's one thing to be surrendered. It's one thing to say, yeah, I know what God wants me to do. I know that God wants me to do this and that. But it's another thing to act on it. It's another thing to put the feet to the work. I can talk all day. I can say things. I can say, hey, we're headed to Paris. We're doing this. We're doing that. But what does it mean if I don't go and actually do it? What does it mean if in my life I never get on a plane and I go over and plant my feet in Paris and, attempt to reach people for Christ? I could travel around America till I'm 60 years old and tell people that I'm called to Paris and never go. See, the true test of our Christian character isn't saying that we are surrendered. The true test of our Christian character is acting on what God has called us to do. Let's look at a word right here. I kind of skipped over it when I read the verse last time. Verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, what's that next word? Immediately. Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. There was no waiting. See, Paul, he was surrendered to the Lord. He had lived a life to this point of surrender and obedience to God. And then God asked him to do something. God gave him just a little bit more responsibility. And Paul said, I'm going to do it. Right now we are going. We're going to preach to them. Look, God, you know I'm surrendered to you. You know I'll obey you. But God, I'm going to go do it. So maybe a minute ago, you said, well, I was talking about some things we could do around the church. And you're like, yeah, I think I could do that. I think I could get a little more involved in the church. I think that maybe I could try to tell Pastor, hey, look, I have 2 hours on this day that I want to come and do something at the church. I bet you, I have no doubt that he could find something for you to do. Will you do it? You say, well, I'm surrendered. Are you taking action? See, God called Paul to Macedonia. He showed him the vision. There was no doubt in Paul's mind that he was called. But after that, we have to set our steps. We have to look in that direction. We have to make decisions that point us in that direction. Steps of action. Psalm 119, 105. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. Now, we have a light on our path, and that is to show us the end goal. That's to point out where we're going. And if we're Christians in here this morning, if we are saved believers, the end goal is heaven. We know that's where we're going. We know that we are headed for heaven. But what about the lamp on our feet? You see, this lamp on our feet, it's there to show us the next step. And now, when I say the next step, I don't mean that the lamp on my feet is going to show me how to get down these stairs. I don't mean the lamp on my feet is going to show me how to get out the back door. I mean the next step. Our Christian life is made up of steps. Step one, I have to put my faith in Christ. I have to repent my sin, become a believer, put my complete faith in Christ. I have to get saved. Maybe you haven't taken that step this morning. Maybe when I say, hey, you know, what's God calling you to do? What's God want you to do? Maybe that step is, look, you know, missionary, Brother Kyle, I don't know if I'm saved. Maybe that's a step you need to take. After we get saved, we get baptized. Maybe you say, well, you know, I've been saved for a little bit, but you know, I'm kind of scared of water, so I don't know if I want to get baptized. Well, maybe that's the next step you need to take. Maybe you can help straighten hymnals on the pews after church, or maybe, like I said, you could help out in a Sunday school class, or even teach a children's class. Maybe God does want me to. Maybe I could go witness to someone. I have coworkers I could tell about Jesus. I have neighbors I could tell about Jesus. I have family I could tell about Jesus. Maybe God does want you to serve Him full time. Maybe God does want you to be a missionary. What's that step? Whatever it is, however big or small it seems, that next step is how you are going to grow closer to God. If we're going to grow closer to God in 2019, it's going to be us taking a bunch of little steps of growth towards Him. Little steps of obedience. Whatever He asks us to do, without hesitation, saying, God, I'm going to do it. Than acting on it. Do you want to grow closer to God? On January 13th of 2020, are you going to be able to say, we'll probably be in church on the 14th, so January 14th, 2020, are you going to sit in this pew and say, you know what? I'm closer to God right now than I was January 13th, 2019. Is that what you want for your life? That's what God wants for you. God wants for you to have a stronger relationship with Him. I'm going to make this personal. Is that what I want for me? I mean, it's easy for me to stand up here and ask you if you want to be closer to God. Do I want to be closer to God? And not just say, do you want to be closer? Oh, yes, I want to be closer to God. Look, I have to have an earnest desire to draw near to Him, or it's not going to happen. It's easy to put on a face. It's easy to pretend. But for us to have an earnest, closer walk with God, we're going to have to take some steps. And we have friends, we have family here to help us along those steps. To talk about, look, we have a pastor that can help us through those steps. Will you take them? What's God want from you this morning? What is He asking you to do? You know, I think God's asking me to spend more time in His Word this year. I think that I haven't spent the time that I need to building my relationship with Him last year, and I need to invest more time in His Word this year. Is that what you need to do? Do we need to spend more time talking to Him, praying to Him, worshiping, thanking Him, asking Him? Do we need to spend more time in prayer this year? Maybe the 5 minutes around the dinner table isn't enough. What's God want you to do? And look, that's between you and God. I can't tell you what God wants you to do to draw closer to Him. But you know what? You ask Him, He'll tell you. So let's ask Him. Lord, thank You so much for the opportunity to be here at Vision Baptist Church. And God, thank You for the opportunity to open up Your Word and share it with the people sitting in here. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would now just work on their hearts, Lord. I pray that as we ponder the things that were shared from Your Word and the verses we read about Paul having burdens and You telling him no and being called in obedience, God, I pray that You would just allow us to do the same. Lord, I pray that this morning, everyone in here, myself included, would be moved to action. Lord, I pray that You just give us that one step, the one step that we can take this morning to draw closer to You. And God, we'll thank You for it. It's in Your name we pray.